in Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's play, adapted for radio by Virginia Wells, is based on the novel Job by Joseph Roth. It features Roger DeCoven and Bryna Rayburn.
I'm Mendel Singer, and sitting alone, my Bible open at the book of Job. It is too dark to see the words. It does not matter, I know them. I know them, Job, because you are Mendel Singer, and I am you. You, Job, and I, Mendel Singer, we understand each other. We know what it is to be a man. We have cursed God who imprisoned us in this flesh. And at the end of our days, as a shock of corn comes in season, we have accepted our manhood. He who is father to the raindrops as well as to the whirlwind has brought us to rest. Now I can say it. I am glad I suffered. For how can one feel the wonder of the sunlight unless he has felt also the terror of the dark? No, I'm no philosopher. I'm an ordinary, commonplace man, born to suffer as the sparks fly upward. You who listen, you suffer too. And one day you will come to understand it. Then the book of Job will be your book, just as it is mine. There would be more. Then, I remember it was a Friday. I came into the kitchen for the noonday meal. Yellow as melted sunlight, the floor gleamed in preparation for the Sabbath. Scrubbed and quiet also, my sons waited for their soup. Deborah was at the stove. She turned, ladle in hand. She might have been asking me to bring a candle or close the door, except there was something in her voice.
Mendel, the cradle, one of the rockers, is broken.
The cradle?
I brought it from the storeroom today. There's no doubt the rocker is broken.
The cradle?
It'll have to be mended.
Please, Deborah, you say...
It'll have to be mended unless we are so rich all at once we can afford a new one.
Deborah. Deborah. Oh,
the children, Mendel.
The cradle, where is it? I'll mend it now.
While the soup grows cold? No, no, there's time yet. Jonas, Shemaria, come eat.
That's the way.
Yes, Mendel.
Deborah, you are an inhabitant of Lebanon. Thou art nestled in the cedars. How gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pangs of a woman in travail.
Mendel, I have a very learned husband, haven't I? But he lets the soup grow cold. Come, let's eat.
Deborah's time came on a hot midsummer afternoon. The clock stood still while I waited, listened, and my heart raced. Then above the silence of the clock and the racing of my heart... the most beautiful sound in the world.
a boy or a girl, Anna Berkovich?
A boy, Mendel.
You're the best midwife in Russia. Let me see him. Let me see my son.
Mendel, the child...
I want to see him. Anna, I tell you, I want to see my son.
Very well. Take him. Look at him.
No. No.
God have pity on you, Mendel Finger.
There are scars a man carries with him all his life. It was not a normal baby the midwife put into my arms. An enormous head, a broad brow crisscrossed with wrinkles, two lifeless legs, like two wooden bowls. Menuchin, my son.
Mendel, Deborah, she does not know yet.
She's sleeping. Look, Anna. We'll let her be happy a little longer. When I told her, she did not cry. That was worse than many tears, for tears are a language. They say, comfort me. But where there are no tears, there is no comfort, no communication. I could not reach her. Dry-eyed, like a stone she was.
Mendel, the neighbors. Keep them away. Don't let them see him. I cannot bear their pity. Yes.
For a week, we hid our son. But on the eighth day, we could hide him no longer. Menuchin, son of Mendel, must be circumcised. The guests came full of talk and congratulations. Then I brought in the child and placed him in his godfather's arms. If we had feared their pity, this was worse. They pretended not to see him. All through the ceremony, they did not look at him at all. Baruch Habo, blessed is he who cometh. And a voice declared,
and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This little child Menuchin may become great.
And every word spoken was a knife. How can I tell you? Some of you, you will know. Others of you, you suffer in another way. At two, he was still a shapeless bundle of misfortune. He could not sit alone. He could not speak. He could only look at us with his suffering old man's face. When you love someone, it is as if you had two skins. I think I felt Deborah's sorrow as much as my own. I used to come into the kitchen and find her crooning to him. Always the same song, an old tune her mother had sung to her. One day, when she was singing to him, something happened. The skinny arms began to wave. His head rolled from side to side. And just for a moment, there was almost a smile on his old man's face.
Mendel.
I saw.
It was the singing. He liked the singing.
Try again. Smile. Smile, little Menuchin. Smile for your mother. He did not smile again, but we kept on hoping. I don't know how, but somewhere among all the other things a woman has to do, Deborah found a moment every day to sing to Menuchin.
Menuchin Song, we called it. The years passed, and we had grown almost accustomed to our sorrow. Jonas and Shemaria were growing up, Jonas thin and dark, with a face like a flame. Shemaria fair and round and sunny as a pumpkin. Good sons, both of them. Then came our second trouble. Without warning, they were called up for military service. Just before the high holy days, they journeyed to Targi for their physical examination. Deborah and I waited at home.
Mendel, they won't take them. Not when they see them. They are children.
Only to us, Deborah.
Mendel, don't just sit there staring at nothing. Think what it would mean to lose both our sons.
I am thinking. If out of their going any good should come, if even one man were better off or happier for it, I could bear it. To give them to the army of the Tsar, an army of oppression.
And for 25 years. Do you realize the term of service is for 25 years?
Even 1 year, 1 hour is too long to serve injustice. To see my own sons wearing the uniform that people hate and fear, it's too much.
If only...
What?
They shouldn't pass the physical examination. Reb Shonik's son has one finger missing. They turned him down for that.
But Jonas, Shemaria.
If only there was some small thing wrong. One doesn't really need 10 fingers.
Thus, we waited for 3 days for the return of our sons from Targi. On the evening of the third day, suddenly they stood in the kitchen doorway. I looked at them, and for the first time I knew my sons were boys no longer, but men.
Jonas, Shemaria, tell us.
We have been taken, Mother. Both of us. That's all. We've been taken. On Saturday, we leave for maneuvers.
No.
Those are our orders.
This cannot happen to us.
It has happened.
What have we done that the Tsar should take both our sons? Mendel, do something. Don't just sit. Go, run, ask.
Run where, ask who?
Wait. Under the straw mattress, there is 23 rubles. I was saving it for Menuchin, but it's enough to buy a passport.
A passport?
In Klutsk, there's a man who supplies them. He's in right with the authorities.
How do you know these things?
Mothers have ways of knowing.
But the money, you say, to buy one passport. We have two sons.
I do not mind the army. No, Jonas. I tell you, I do not mind. Father, make him go.
Only a Solomon could say what to do. Let us ask God's help and sleep on it.
Mendel, wake up. He's gone. Huh? Jonas is gone.
And he's left the money on the table.
Then, it is God's will that Shemaria has the passport and get out of Russia.
Jonas, my first born. Gone.
Gone. For 25 years, the army star.
And we did not even say goodbye to him.
What is it that people can say to one another, Deborah, when they part, perhaps for life? Same day, Shemaria left too. Shemaria, our second born, stealing away like a thief to Glutsk and the passport that would take him out of Russia. Away from us forever. When he had gone, Deborah and I sat for a little while together. Just sat. Then suddenly she rose. It's a wonderful thing to be a woman. Threw her shawl about her head and took down her market basket.
You will look after Menuchin, Mendel, while I'm gone?
Deborah, You're not going to market today.
One has to eat.
She was gone. And Manukim and I were alone. Manukim propped up on pillows, staring at me with his troubled old man's face. Manukim, the only son that was left to us. God forgive me, but I could not bear to look at him now. I turned away. And as I turned, he made a faint, small sound. Manukim. Manukim. Are you calling me? You trying to speak? Oh, Manukim, my son, talk to me. Say something. I'm all alone now. Your brothers have gone away. You're my youngest son. Speak to me. Just a few words. I'll sit beside you. Be your teacher. I've taught other men sons. Why not you? Say the words after me. Bereshit bara Elohim es hashamayim v'ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Say it. Say it, Menachem. Bereshis bara Elohim. Bereshis bara Elohim. Say it with me. Bereshis bara Elohim. Let's teach him, Manukim. Say it. You are all that's left to me now.
I don't know how many times I said the words. My voice grew hoarse, sank to a whisper. Evening came in at the window. The child's head rolled over against the pillow, his heavy eyelids closed. Manukim was asleep, and there was no use. That night, for the first time in my life, I tried to pray and could not. God was too far away. What did he know of Mendel Singer and his troubles? I lay on the straw mattress on the floor and tossed from side to side, and suddenly I thought of you, Joe. You knew what it was to be a man. Better than anyone, you had said it. Man who is born of woman is a few years and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth like a shadow and continueth not. The waters wear the stone. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. They are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Now that we had lost our son, nothing worse could happen to us. 12 months make a year. From time to time, Jonas sent a greeting. He served in Pakov with the army. But from Shemaria we heard nothing. A wind had blown him away we knew not where. Then one day a postcard came. It showed a sky bluer than the sky we had ever seen, and an ocean bluer than the sky. And in the ocean were thousands and thousands of people, more than our whole province. On the back was written in Shemaria's handwriting, "Dear father and mother, I arrived here 3 months ago."
Yes? Where is here, Mendel?
I don't know. The postmark is blurred. I'll read on. I have a job. I sew buttons on pants. Then I iron the pants. Soon I will learn to sew the lining and the sleeves. Then I will be almost a tailor. Today is a holiday, the 4th of July. I'm writing this from Coney Island.
Coney Island? Is that a country?
No. No, it's not a country.
What then? Where is our Shemaya?
You will ask the rabbi. He's very learned. Maybe he knows Coney Island. From the rabbi, we learned that Coney Island was in New York. New York,
That we knew. Our Shemaria was in America. 3 months later, another postcard came. Dear Mother and Father, I am sending you the Statue of Liberty. I sew in the lining now.
So soon?
Soon I will be a tailor and can send you money. And you can come here, too.
Come to America? Leave Lucknow?
Never. It was almost a year before we heard from Shemaria again. This time it was a letter. As I opened it, 3 pieces of paper fell out, green with spread eagles printed on them.
Mendel, it's money. He's a good son. Read what he says.
I waited to write until I had the money for your ticket.
Ticket?
I want you to come to New York. I work for a tailor in a shop on Essex Street. I can find jobs for you.
Oh, the boy is crazy.
If we all work hard and save our money, soon we can have a tailor shop of our own. That way we can get the money to send Vinukhin to the best hospital in Russia. I have not forgotten it was Vinukhin's money that Mother gave me for the passport.
He remembered. After all this time, he remembered.
When he is cured, we can bring him to America to live with us.
Bring him? But he'll go with us.
Oh, who's going? Deborah, you're not thinking of going.
To get Menuchin cured, I would go anywhere. But haven't they doctors in America? Why? Why can't we take him?
Wait, he tells us why here. I know you will hate to leave Menuchin behind, but people who are sick like him are not allowed to enter the country.
Oh.
It'll only be for a little while anyway if we work hard. Aunt Sarah would look after him, I know. Until we can afford to put him in a hospital.
He has thought of everything, Mendel. He is a good son. I will ask Sarah.
Deborah, you mean you're serious? You would go?
How else could we ever get the money from Menuchin? Think of him, Mendel. Well, like other children.
But to leave him behind. It's a long, long way to America.
I know, but think of him well. I'll go now and speak to Sarah about leaving him with her. Tomorrow I will find out about how to get our passports and our steamship tickets. What is it, Mendel? You are sad.
Why? Why must it always be so hard?
What's so hard?
To be a human being.
Is there something else you'd rather be?
Today's Eternal Light play, adapted for radio by Virginia Wells, was part one of a special two-part series based on the book Job by Joseph Roth, published by the Viking Press. Listen next week to the second and concluding chapter of this series. The music for our program today was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Liturgical music was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel. The role of Job was played by Roger DeCoven, and Deborah was played by Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Patton. And now we present a brief talk by Dr. Samuel Blumenfield of the College of Jewish Studies in Chicago, Illinois. Dr. Blumenfield speaks to you from Chicago.
Job has become the classic figure of untold suffering that goes hand in hand with vigorous protest and with the reaffirmation of faith in the goodness of life. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. This is the central motif of the book of Job in the Bible. And this is the theme of the novel Job, built around the life struggle of a Jewish family in modern times. In this morning's program, we have listened to the first part of the drama of our modern Job, calamities piling up upon calamities, followed by an outcry of despair and protest, which is to end with a triumph of Mendel Singer in the episode to come. From history and contemporary experience, we have learned that the story of Job is not limited to individuals alone, but is also to be found in the life of groups and peoples. As one traces the checkered history of the Jewish people, one finds the recurrent motif of endless tribulation, refusal to yield to adversity, in the triumph of faith in God and in man. In our days, the tragedy of Job is being reenacted in the vicissitudes of the Jews of Europe and Palestine. With the rise of Hitler, there came great misfortune to our people. Hardly had the Jews absorbed the shock of persecution and expulsion when the greatest calamity in the annals of human history befell Israel, the martyrdom of 6 million men, women, and children. As if this were not enough, the few who escaped are being kept even now, a year after the victory of the Allies, in detention camps, where they live as beggars and pariahs. And as if this were not enough, we read daily that those who tasted the horrors of gas chambers and crematoriums are being murdered in Poland and harassed in other lands of Europe. To climax it all, we have lived to see the rights of our people in the Jewish homeland Palestine trampled upon and violated. Out of the depths we cry, Eli, Eli, lama azaftanu, O my God, why hast thou forsaken us? But while we feel the sharp pain of wounds inflicted by friends and the shame of humiliation perpetrated by allies, we have the deep conviction that we are witnessing only the first episode and that the tragedy of Israel will yet unfold itself into the drama of creative effort and the triumph of good over evil, of divine purpose over satanic machinations. Today, even as in the course of the many centuries, the Jew repeats with the psalmist, Lo amut ki echiev asaper ba'aseyah, I shall not die, but live to tell the glory of the Almighty.
Thank you, Dr. Blumenfield. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.